If you're a farmer in New York State, join the New York State Grown and Certified program to let people know your food is grown right, right here. Learn more at certified.ny.gov.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Greetings and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, also known as the Food Healer, and today I'm really excited about the show. I'm going to be interviewing Sharon Nunez, who is AnimalEquality.org's president and co-founder, all about their organization and also an incredible project that they're working on. So I just want to get started and find out about as much as I can about this topic. So, Sharon, are you there?
Hi, yes, I'm here. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for contacting us. This project sounds absolutely amazing, and I'm dying to talk to you. So if it's okay with you, I just want to get started and just start asking you a bunch of questions. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Likewise. I'm so excited to be speaking to you.
Yay. All right. So we're going to get started here. So can you tell us a little bit about AnimalEquality.org?
Absolutely. So Animal Equality is an international animal protection organization. We're working in 8 countries, and we were founded in 2006, 10 years ago. Actually, I'm one of the founders of the organization alongside Jose Valle and Javier Moreno. And since then, the organization has become a leading force for change for animals. Just in the past year, we have made global headlines with our investigations and our campaigns, appearing in media outlets such as CNN, BBC, El País, Corriere della Sera, and others.
Wow. Wow, you guys are really doing your work out there, which thank you for that, because, you know, as we all know, like the nonprofits, especially with animal work, is very, very difficult to become successful. So whatever you guys are doing, you're doing it right. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. We work very hard. Thank you so much.
So what do you guys do, basically, when you go to these countries and, like, what happens? Is we're talking like a government level, or is this like small things, or...
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. We actually have 3 strategic lines or 3 main focuses that we have as an organization. The most important thing to say first is that we're focused on farmed animals. So these are animals that are raised and killed for food. Mm-hmm. And within farmed animals, we focus on education, corporate outreach, and legislation. So with education, we educate individuals, one-to-one, the public, to reduce their meat consumption or eliminate meat and other animal products altogether. And we do this through innovative projects such as iAnimal, that's a virtual reality project that we take to universities around the world. We also do corporate outreach, engaging with companies and trying to convince them to adopt more compassionate policies. So, for example, just recently, in the last actually 2 weeks, alongside other organizations, we convinced International Meal Company, that is a Brazilian holding company in the food service sector, to ban cages from all its food supply chain by 2022.
Wow.
And then we also do legislation, and we do this mainly in countries like India, where we're working. And we work with policymakers, mm-hmm, to change laws to benefit animals and to also enforce laws. And I mean, just in the last few years, we've managed to ban the importation of foie gras in India. We also banned bull cart races and have achieved legislative change in other countries too.
That's amazing. I mean, and some of these things are, I'm assuming some of these things are tradition. So in order to break, you know, to break tradition, there's so much education that's involved in order to do that. Hats off to you guys, seriously.
So you
guys focus on the factory farming industry. Do you find that people still don't know about the horrors of what goes on there?
Yeah, I mean, definitely things are changing, mm-hmm, and more people are becoming aware of the cruelty involved in the way we raise and kill animals for food. And this is to many factors. But one, I think, of the key factors is the investigations that Animal Equality and other organizations carry out, where we go into these factory farms, we go into these slaughterhouses undercover, mm-hmm. we film what is happening behind the scenes, and then we show it to the public. And that's definitely helping raise awareness. So I think that it's increasing, but factory farming is still one of the biggest problems of our time. 95% and 99% of animals that are raised and killed for food are factory farmed. And though that there is many people that are against it, mm-hmm. We still have to work on what are people, what companies, and what legislators can do to end factory farming.
Mm-hmm. And then for people that don't have any idea, could you tell us some of the biggest issues around factory farming and why this is a problem?
Yeah, absolutely. So in factory farms, animals are crammed by the thousands, and they're crammed in filthy and windowless sheds. Mm. So the main problems are confinement, genetic manipulation, and mutilations. And these are some of the things that we're working on as an organization. So animals, for example, are confined in brutal conditions. Mm. They're stuffed into wire cages, just as hens are, where they can't even spread their wings most of the time, or they're crammed in small metal cages like pigs, where the only thing they can do during the day is stand up and lie down. Mm. Other animals, such as broiler chickens, are genetically manipulated to grow larger than their legs can support, and many of them end up being unable to move and die on the farms because of starvation, dehydration, and just simply because they can't reach the food and the water. And then another big problem in factory farming is mutilation. Mm-hmm. So pigs, for example, are routinely castrated without anesthesia.
Oh, my God.
Their teeth are clipped, their tails are cut, cows are dehorned, their horns are burned off, and all these things are done routinely and are done without anesthesia. And these kind of terrible conditions are the norm in the industry. All this I've said aren't exceptions. Actually, everything I've mentioned is allowed by the law in most of the countries.
Oh, my God, that's terrible. And then what's the ecological impact on the environment with factory farming?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great question. I mean, only in the U.S., animal raised on factory farms generate approximately 1 million tons of manure every day.
My God.
So that's three times the amount generated by the country's human population.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, it's animal agriculture is actually responsible for more greenhouse gas emissions than cars, trains, and planes combined. And this is because during digestion, cattle, sheep, goats emit methane. Mm-hmm. And this is a greenhouse gas. So factory farms also are typically store their waste in huge open-air lagoons, which are prone to leaks and spills. So, again, I mean, factory farming from an animal welfare perspective, from a health perspective, from an environmental perspective, is one of the most important issues that we should tackle during our lifetime, I think.
No, I agree with you. And, I mean, this is the little story that I have, which is kind of random, but I was at Burning Man this past year, and there was an organization there that was all about veganism and all about animal education and these kind of things, and they had showers, okay? So a shower at Burning Man is a big deal. So you'll wait online for an hour or two to do this. And what they did is they brought everybody in, and then they started talking about veganism and, like, animal abuse and animal this sort of thing, factory farming. And so what you had to do to take a shower is first you had to stand around and hear all this, which was really, they really knew what they were talking about, so that was great. And then they basically had a giant cage, and they crammed, I don't even know how many of us in it. I mean, it was to the point where we couldn't stand. I could barely breathe. I'm not claustrophobic either, but we were just absolutely crammed in, and I got to the point where I actually couldn't touch my feet to the ground. And they locked us in it, and they kept us in there for just enough time for people to really just start freaking out and understand this. And let me tell you, man, I mean, I've researched factory farms for years. That little experiment of that being locked in that cage for maybe 2 minutes with, like, probably 100 total strangers was one of the most difficult things I've ever experienced. And it really, really brought it home at how horrible the situations and the just the whole thing is, you know. And I'm really grateful that they were doing that, because they really educated, I mean, tens of thousands of people and made all us think, you know, long and hard about really what's going on in the industry.
Wow. Yeah. And I mean, That's such an incredible experience, and just thinking about, like, animals spend their entire life there. I mean, it's incredible. Sometimes I travel a lot, and I'm sitting in a seat in the plane for maybe 10, 11 hours, and mm-hmm. sometimes I just think, wow, like, pigs in gestation crates, they're in much worse conditions for months on end. So absolutely, I think it's so important that we put ourselves in kind of in the skin of these animals, and this yeah. is something we're also trying to do through our educational project, like iAnimal, for example.
It's the iAnimal. I am fascinated about this. I mean, the iAnimal to me is one of the most amazing things I've heard in a long time. So could you tell our listeners what it is?
Yeah, absolutely. So iAnimal is a virtual reality project that takes the viewer inside the lives of factory farm animals. So many people, I certainly didn't really know what virtual reality was before some people in our team developed iAnimal. Virtual reality is an immersive experience. Basically, you have headsets, and you put the headsets on, and you also put headphones on, and you can see in 360. That means that wherever you look, you're going to see wow. the film that is being shown. So what we've done is we've taken our 360 cameras inside factory farms. We've filmed. We've also taken them inside slaughterhouses, and we show this to the public. We take it to university students around the world, and we just let them look, and they experience what it's like to be in a factory farm. And one of the most interesting things about virtual reality is that you're not actually watching it, you're there. And has been tested with children that have tried virtual reality, nothing like iAnimal, of course, but children have tried virtual reality, and they remember the experience as if it had happened to them.
Wow.
So the way we are getting to people, we feel is much more profound and has more of a potential for change than with other forms of kind of outreach that we use.
So when someone puts on this headset, are they seeing like a live action film? Are they seeing a cartoon, or like what are they seeing?
So they're actually seeing what happens inside a slaughterhouse.
My God.
It's a live film, and many of the people tell us that they make eye contact with the animals that are there, and this is a very profound experience that changes them for life.
Wow.
They can look at an animal in the eyes. They can also look at the slaughterhouse worker in the eyes and look at the animal's last moments on Earth before they're being killed. So again, this is a profound experience for people who have tried it, and we're very excited about it. We're taking it to universities. We were also with a similar project on the Sundance Film Festival last year.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be taking it to a Luxembourg Film Festival soon.
Awesome.
We've actually presented two iAnimal videos, one into the lives of pigs and the other one into the lives of chickens, and then we're going to be presenting videos inside the lives of factory farm hens and dairy cows. So we're very excited about this project, and we continue to develop it and seeing the incredible change it has on people.
So let's say your typical college student that, you know, is a meat eater and just, you know, your typical college student. So they put this headset on and they watch the film. What's the normal reaction that you're getting? Are people crying? Are they freaking out? Like, what's going on?
Actually, that's a really great question, because what we're seeing is reactions that are very different from when our typical video outreach. With our video outreach, most people cry and they have a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
But with iAnimal, what we're finding is that people kind of need a time to be by themselves, and they step back. So sometimes they take the headsets off and they just kind of want to be left alone. And then later, a few minutes afterwards, they come up and they ask us any questions they have about what they just saw, about how they can transition to vegetarianism, about how they can reduce their meat consumption. I must say that what we ask them to do is to reduce or eliminate their meat consumption after having the experience. So I think that the fact that people need those few minutes to just sink into the experience and just think about what they've watched really speaks volumes about how this has transformed them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was in nutrition school, and so we had to see the old movies like The Meat is Murder and those kind of things, you know, and those are intense. I mean, they're really, really intense. And to be totally honest with you, I'm really squeamish and I'm a total chicken. Like, I can't do horror movies, any of this stuff. And so the thought of iAnimal for me is, it's a little bit scary for me, because I just know that I react very heavily to things, but I love the fact that you're not afraid to show what actually happens, because so much is just, you know, made pretty, or, oh, you know, we just sneak up behind them and they don't know what happens and then we kill them and everything's fine, you know, that sort of thing. And so it turns it almost into kind of like a Disney-esque fantasy of what's actually going on and where we get our meat from. And I think that what you guys are doing is so important for people to truly understand, because even reading it, you know, that's how I get most of my news, is I read it because it's not as intense. But as we all know, when you're reading something, it's really easy to skim over parts that get a little serious, you know, or that kind of thing, where this is like, no, you got to watch this. And I really, really respect that. And it really takes guts to put that out there. So thank you guys for doing this.
Thank you. And we've actually had the support of incredible, compassionate celebrities like Kat Von D and Tony Kanal and Peter Egan. And it's actually been very transformative to work with them and see how they experience iAnimal. And I think that the fact that we have like someone like Kat Von D and our last experience also speaks volumes to people about how important this it is for people to watch this, and it is for people to experience the life of a factory farmed animal.
Totally. So we need to take a quick break for station identification. I am talking to Sharon Nunez, who's president and co-founder of animalequality.org. We'll be back in about a minute and a half, so stay tuned.
New York State cares about New York's farmers. That's why we've developed the New York State Grown and Certified program. It's a seal New Yorkers can look for when they're shopping for food that comes from local farms. Customers are more likely to buy food that has the New York State Grown and Certified seal because it tells them that it comes from a farm that follows environmentally responsible, farm-safe protocols. In other words, the New York State Grown and Certified seal tells them their food is grown right, right here in New York State. You're a farmer with a lot to do, but the time it takes to sign up for the program is a great investment for your business because it lets shoppers know that your food meets higher standards, has passed assessments, and is produced by environmentally friendly farming practices. To learn about participating in the program, go to certified.ny.gov.
And we are back. I am talking to Sharon Nunez all about animalequality.org and their amazing iAnimal program. So, Sharon, I'm really excited that you guys have covered the topic of factory farm chicken, because I think that's the one I know the most about. And I think the experience from egg to dinner is unbelievably horrifying. Would you be willing to talk us through a little bit of like what a chicken has to deal with?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so happy you've asked me this question, because chickens are one of our focus in animal equality. Like 15 billion broiler chickens are killed every year.
My God.
For food. And yeah, they have some of the most horrible existence. I myself have been in several chicken factory farms, and I remember one very specifically. I was in India not so long ago, and though it was in India, the conditions are the same all over the world. And when I went in, I saw that most of the chickens that were there were still babies. They must have been maybe 3 weeks old. And some of them were already dying because of the diseases and because of the conditions. And I remember that what the farmer did was he just took the chickens that were sick and put them aside. Ugh. And just removed the water and the food from them. So they were not only sick, but they were left to die, because of course that was just, they were just going to be spending money if they were spending, if they were feeding them and giving them water. So he just left them there to die when they were still sick. So this is just one of the thousands of things that happen to a chicken in a factory farm. As I was saying before, their bodies are a prison. They're genetically manipulated to grow so big that they can't even bear the weight of their own bodies, and they end up on the floor without being able to move, probably starving if they don't have any other diseases, thirsty, and it's really very dramatic. And then they're transported to the slaughterhouse in brutal conditions, and then most of them are still conscious when they're being killed. So it's a horrific life to be a chicken, and I think that one of the things that we can all do as of today is reduce or eliminate our consumption of chicken. I mean, if we can go vegan, that's wonderful.
Totally.
I'm a vegan myself. I've been a vegan for over 15 years, and I'm very healthy. Mm-hmm. But if you're not ready to go vegan, reduce or eliminate your consumption of chicken, and you will be sparing a tremendous amount of suffering to these very innocent animals that don't deserve the life they get.
It's like, especially with, you know, it's interesting because what I find is, you know, when I'm talking to people, I was doing nutritional counseling for a long time, and so it's like, you know, chicken is one of the, it's the meat, it's really, really interesting because people, like, will eat beef or pork, and they're kind of like, okay, you know, cow, pig. Chicken, I think, has become so sterilized isn't the right word, but I think people are so used to chicken that it's like chicken is the one where people are like, ew, I don't like to eat it off the bone, or ew, skin. And it's like, it's just become like this slab of almost Play-Doh that people have been able to distance themselves far enough away from it not to realize that this is an actual bird. I feel like chicken is kind of like a term for just like, just this meat, and that people don't, it doesn't connect as quickly, and I don't know if it's because it's a bird and because it's smaller or what that is, but I mean, chicken's in everything at this point, you know, it's like the protein to get wherever you are, and, you know, the factory farm stuff, what I always am concerned about, too, is, like, the stress and the mental health of these animals, because with humans, you know, the more stressed out you are, the more problems you have in terms of health and all this, and I can't imagine that this would be a good thing for the quality of the meat or the nutrients in there. You know, I kind of feel like you'd just basically be eating garbage.
Yeah, absolutely. And the amount of stress that these animals endure is tremendous. And things that are kind of we take for granted, like our families, most of the farm animals are separated from their families shortly after they're given birth, and they're sent to other units or they're sent to slaughterhouses, like in the case of veal culls. Mm-hmm. But I would recommend anyone to visit ianimal360.org. We currently have a video about the life and death of chickens and factory farms. And I think that after watching that, I think it will raise questions in people whether they want to continue eating chicken or if it's maybe time to switch to some plant-based options. And there's incredible plant-based options that are substitutes for chicken in most U.S. supermarkets. So I think that it's something that's very important for everyone to see.
Yeah, I do too. And I, you know, what the nice thing is that, you know, there's all these good, these plant proteins now that you're talking about. And I mean, some of them are really, really good. And I think that we're slowly, I mean, staggeringly getting away from this concept of that vegetarians and vegans are like, you know, hippies and that kind of thing. It was such a negative connotation, you know, 20 years ago. And now people are starting to learn it. And, you know, with our own food system, with all the processed stuff and all the chemicals, people are starting to realize that, you know, if you want to eat healthy, you need to eat real food. And if you're doing that, it's obviously much easier as a vegan because it just kind of limits, you know, all the garbage food that's out there and the snack foods that are out there that just have no nutrients whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so how long does it take you guys to make an episode?
So it takes us about, each iAnimal film takes us about 6 months. These are films that we are recording around the world. So if you look at our iAnimal 360 Into the Lives of a Pig, we filmed that in Mexico, and we filmed that in several European countries, such as the UK, Spain, Italy, and Germany. So the filming takes a lot of coordination, and then we need to get all the footage, get the script ready, and get the website ready. So I think in total it takes us about 6 months before release. And then many times we count with wonderful celebrities, and then we have to coordinate with them too. So about 6 months.
That's quick. That's really quick. And how long are the films?
Every film is about 3 to 5 minutes each.
Oh, okay. Cool. And, I mean, I feel like an idiot. It's like I just realized that, you know, most of the research I've done on factory farms are in this country, and I'm really bummed out to hear that there's factory farms like ours in Europe. I thought they were better and more caring than we are, but that's a drag.
Yeah, unfortunately there is. I mean, Europe has banned things like battery cages, but unfortunately they have substituted them in most cases by enriched cages. So a battery cage would usually stack anything from 5 to 7 hens, and now we have the same amount of hens but in a bigger space. And sometimes they reduce the flock to 3 or 4 hens. So they have banned in many countries some of the worst forms of cruelty, but of course factory farming still exists and there's still a lot of work to be done.
And so I just want to clear up, like, you know, you go to the supermarket and you see some meat and, you know, there are all these buzzwords now and they've been around for a long time. And so I don't think they're working as well. But if you're looking at, for example, cage-free eggs, are those chickens like in any better situation than the ones that are being slaughtered?
So, I mean, we advocate the elimination of eggs. We ask people to go vegan, and we also ask them to reduce their consumption of eggs or meat. Of course, we think that ideally no animals would be raised and killed for food. But there are differences between some products and others. And one of the worst things that we can do to an animal is put him or her in a cage so small where they can hardly move. And battery cages are some of the worst things that have ever been created regarding cruelty to animals. I mean, hens, they can't even spread their wings. They can't move in the cages. I myself have also been in a battery-caged hen farm, and I've seen in a same cage up to 7 hens, with one of them dead and the other hens trying to gain some space desperately with the, standing on the corpse of the hen that's just perished. So definitely, banning cages is progress, but as an organization, we ask people to eliminate or reduce their consumption of eggs. I mean, that's the best thing we can do for animals.
I hear you. Yeah, I hear you, and I totally understand that. Wow. I am I'm so grateful to be talking to you, and I am so grateful to be doing this interview. We do, my show normally does, we do some intense shows once in a while, but we don't do that many. It's more, you know, pick an animal and we'll talk about it. And I'm so grateful to be sharing this information with my listeners, because this is something that it's really, really important. And, you know, we all do need to make a change. And if any of you have ever driven through the South on a hot day and you've passed a factory farm, I mean, you will know it because you're going to smell it about, I don't know, 10 miles before you get to it. And that alone is what really turned me off of it. It was just like, you know, something that smells that bad and has a lagoon that big that you can see from the highway is not, it's not a good thing, you know. It's not doing anything good for anyone. And I mean, I also wonder about the employees or like the farmers that do this, if they have just gotten so, I guess, so used to it and so jaded that it's they're no longer seeing these animals as sentient beings and more just kind of like, you know, product.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there is a percentage of them that become completely desensitized as a way to deal with the cruelty they're inflicting. And, I mean, a lot of people are work in slaughterhouses and work in factory farms because sometimes they don't have another option. So, I mean, I think it's all part of a very, very cruel system where animals, of course, are receiving the worst part of it, but there's also a workers' issue, there's health issues. As you were saying before, there's environmental issues. So it's just a really cruel system, and I hope that by mid of this century, we are able to ban factory farming. I think this is one of the most profound changes that we can make as a species.
I think so, too. And I think that, you know, everything is, the good news is I think the tide is turning, and I think people are becoming more aware of this. And so, you know, now, it, like, if you had said that to me 20 years ago, it would have been like, yeah, fat chance. But now I think that we're actually becoming more aware, and I think that in 50 years, I think that's actually a reasonable goal. And I think it's doable, too, especially with global warming, and, you know, we have such an overpopulation in the world right now, and we need more agriculture. That's what's going to feed everyone, not more animals.
Yeah, absolutely. And the alternatives to animal products are more and more amazing every day. I mean, we can see that very clearly with milk.
Yep.
More and more people are drinking almond milk and soy milk and coconut milk. And it is another option at the moment. And mm-hmm. it'll just take time for people to be aware that this is not an option. This is the best option, the best thing they can do for themselves, for animals and the planet. And it's going to be the same with alternatives to meat, plant-based meat, and other plant-based alternatives that are being created, where it will just be normal to not eat meat.
Yeah.
And so I think that we're getting really far. There's more and more organizations. There's more laws that are coming out that are protecting animals. More corporations are deciding to ban and eliminate some of the worst forms of cruelty. And the amount of people who are reducing their meat consumption or going vegetarian and vegan is increasing significantly. So as an organization, and I myself, we remain very positive about the future.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I work with little kids, and I have never seen, up until now, I have so many second through fifth graders that are willfully vegetarian on their own. And some of them have become vegetarian or vegan, and then they've just harassed their parents so much that the parents finally were like, fine, we'll do it too and make it easier. Mm-hmm. And there's something about this generation of kids that are coming up where they're really more aware of this and are more willing to speak about it, and they're also more willing to be vegetarian because it's kind of cool for them. You know, it's not the thing that's going to be like, you're weird. You know, now it's like, oh, wow, you're kind of cool. And they really give me hope, because so many people, you know, you get set in your ways. You have meat. I grew up having meat at almost, or definitely animal product, probably every meal. And that changed, I don't know, probably a while ago, definitely years and years ago. And it's funny because, you know, you just get into the habit, and it's like, you know, milk for breakfast, eggs, bacon, toast, you know, and then lunch is a hot dog or whatever it is. And then dinner, you know, steak or chicken or whatever. And it's like, when you change that, besides the fact that you get so much healthier because you're taking all this acidic poison out of your body, but it's also just, you know, it's so much less expensive. And I think that's a problem in this country, too, is the fact that we're always looking for a bargain. And so people are very turned on by, you know, 39 cents a pound of chicken. When, if you really think about that, I mean, honestly, I would much prefer to spend, you know, $30 for a chicken because I knew it was raised well and it's healthy and it had a good life and it was slaughtered correctly and, you know, it ate and it drank what it's supposed to do and it was a chicken at least for part of its life. So, you know what I mean? It's like, I think I think trying to save money and being economic when it comes to your food, especially in this country, we need to change that a little bit. You know, we need to get the Old Navy mentality out of our shopping cart because, I mean, everywhere else pays, you know, twice, three times. Europe food is, you know, twice as much as it is here. And there's a reason for that. And I think that would really reduce, I mean, my God, if, you know, we had to pay $20-$30 for two pork chops, people would not be eating as much pork or anything else for that matter.
Yeah, with what you said about children is so important, and children and teenagers today are kind of computer natives and internet natives, and social media is one of the best things that has happened for animals. I mean, we're publishing videos at the moment, and sometimes they get 500,000 views, a million views, 5 wow. million views, and this, we would only be able to share this with the people before through the press, and kind of pray for the press to pick it up and show it to a few million people, and now we're getting millions of views daily through social media. So I think that you're absolutely right. I mean, children do have kind of a more innate compassion towards animals, and then we have social media, too, at the moment that is kind of revolutionizing how people access information and the kind of information they have access to.
So does animalequality.org or iAnimal have anything that is appropriate for children? Or is this like, you know, don't show this to your kids?
Yeah. I mean, kids are welcome to visit our website, animalequality.net. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, iAnimal is a little bit too intense for children. We don't recommend anyone under 13 to watch it.
Okay.
It is brutal. I mean, in the future, we will be developing more content, hopefully virtual reality content for children inside an animal sanctuary where animals are kind of free and they're living happy lives.
Nice.
But for the, for the moment, unfortunately, high animal is for children.
Well, I mean, you know, in all fairness to you guys, like, if you're showing what's really going on, then it shouldn't be for kids. I mean, you know, it's not like, oh, and then the fairy comes with her little wand and she taps the chicken on its head and look, dinner. You know, like, you need to show how miserable this is and how horrible this is in order to make changes. So, I mean, like I said, you guys have guts, and I really, really admire the fact that you're willing to show the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth in your work and in your videos, because that's not easy.
Yeah, and I mean, children are, I mean, we have had maybe 14 or 15-year-olds watch it with their parents, and sometimes the reactions we get from them are, I mean, they're really surprising. They're just like, they're shocked, but at the same time, they have like a very mature approach to it, and they're like, whoa, I didn't know this was happening. Can you give me more information? So, yeah, I mean, we don't recommend children to watch it, but sometimes, especially teenagers, we find them to have a very, I mean, they don't seem to have their defenses as built up, maybe, as some adults do, and they seem to have more kind of a more honest approach to it sometimes.
Nice. Nice. Well, I hate to say it, but we're running out of time. I've really, really enjoyed this conversation. I could talk to you for a lot longer about all this stuff. And I know you're incredibly busy. So I want to say thank you for taking the time to sit and talk to me and to my viewers and teaching us all kinds of stuff that we all need to know. Where can we send our listeners? What pages do you guys, where can they find you so they can get more information about this?
Yeah, absolutely. So if people want to know more about animal equality, please visit animalequality.org. That's animalequality.org. And then to have more information about iAnimal and to have our iAnimal virtual reality tour, people can visit iAnimal360.com. That's iAnimal360.com. And it's been a real pleasure for me to be on the program. Such a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And one last question for you. For people that want the whole 3D experience, is there anywhere on your website where they can find out where you guys are going to be?
There will be, and then we're going to be, there will be in the next few weeks, and then actually we're going to be developing an iAnimal app, so people will be able to download the videos on their phone, and then we're going to be sending out Google Cardboards, and they're kind of cardboards that are very similar to the headsets we usually use on tour.
Oh, cool.
And anyone can write to us an email and get a Google Cardboard so they can experience it and share it with their family and friends.
That is awesome. Wow. So, Sharon, thank you so much for what you guys are doing. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me. I wish you guys tons of luck and tons of success in the future. And if there's anything we can ever do for you here at Heritage Radio, please let us know, because I think what you're doing is amazing, and I'd like to continue this conversation.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a great conversation, and yes, I'm looking forward to continuing contact. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And for everybody else, thank you guys so much for tuning in. As you know, I'm on Instagram at Animal Instinct Radio. I am on Facebook at Animal Instinct. Look for the cat with the blue hair. Where else am I? I'm on Twitter as Food Healer, so you can join all those. You can listen in on iTunes or Stitcher. And if you like it live, oh, tune in at 6 on Mondays. It's always good to have you guys out there. So thanks again for listening. I will see you all next week with a new episode. Until then, just take care.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.